Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers online. Our mission is inspired by love, we transform ourselves and serve others. I am Leslie Gatto, a worship associate who has been a UU for almost 40 years. You can follow along at the website or the order of worship that came out this morning. Using Zoom, you are invited to watch our worship service either using speaker view, which will show you a large image of the current speaker, or gallery view, which will show you the screens of everyone attending this service. If you are using a computer, you will see an option to switch between the two at the top right of your screen. If you're using a tablet or a smartphone, simply swipe left on your screen to see the gallery view and swipe right to return to the speaker view. During our Zoom worship, please make sure that your microphone is muted. Should the service be unexpectedly interrupted, or if we experience any major technical difficulties, our ushers will disconnect all video and end the Zoom session. Our service will then continue streaming audio only via our church website, UUCFM.org, within the next 5 minutes. We appreciate your understanding as we navigate our digital ministry together. With much appreciation, I welcome our guest minister, Reverend Naomi King. It has been my pleasure to work with her this week. Naomi describes herself as a wheelchair-using, knitting, swimming, deep-breathing yogi, and ordained and fellowshipped Unitarian Universalist minister. Naomi loves to equip folks with spiritual technologies and practices that help us fulfill our faithful promises, navigate anxiety, anger, fear, and grief, and nurture a more just and compassionate world together.
Please join me in reciting the words of our covenant as we light our chalice today. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
Please feel free to join in singing our opening hymn, number 301, Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky. You will find the words on the order of worship.
Thank you.
mercy and compassion as we face this world today with global pandemic and with global climate change, enliven our hopes.
Courageous love,
steady us
and guide us.
Mercy and compassion as we face isolation, loneliness, fear, and helplessness. Enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady us and guide us.
Mercy and compassion as we face oppression and want, hunger and fear. Enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady and guide us.
Mercy and compassion as we face death and loss, early endings, and no goodbyes. Enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady
and guide us.
Mercy and compassion as we face this day ahead with so much unknown, enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady and guide us.
Mercy and compassion as we face this week ahead with so much turmoil and trouble, enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady us and guide us.
Mercy and compassion. Whatever we face, wherever we are, bring us back to the heart of being and enliven our hopes.
Courageous love, steady us and guide us wherever we are.
Whatever we face.
Good morning, everybody. So my name is Jen Blosser. I'm Director of Religious Education, and I have a story to share with you this morning. This is a story called The Brave Little Parrot, written by Raffi Martin, and it is a Jataka tale. I can't speak. I apologize. And I have adapted it to share with you this morning. Once long ago, the Buddha was born as a very plain little parrot. One day, a storm fell upon his forest home. In a crash of lightning, a tree caught fire, and suddenly the whole forest was ablaze. "Fire! Fire!" cried the little parrot, alerting all the other animals. "To the river!" And he took off into the air and headed for the river. But as he flew, he could see that many animals were trapped with no chance of escape. Suddenly, a desperate idea popped in his head. He dashed to the river, dove into the water, and then zigged and zagged through the walls of flame and smoke back to the center of the forest, where he shook the water from his wings. But only a few drops fell, the rest having evaporated from the heat. Then the little parrot once more flew back through the flames and smoke to the river, dipped himself in the cool water, and flew back again over the burning forest. He did this over and over, his eyes and lungs burning from the smoke, his head dizzy from the heat. But still, the little parrot flew on. At this time, a few of the gods were floating overhead in their cloud palaces of ivory and gold. When they saw what the little parrot was doing, they laughed and said, "Look at that absurd little bird. His efforts are futile." But one of those gods, strangely moved, changed himself into a majestic golden eagle and flew down. The little parrot was just nearing the flames again when the eagle appeared at his side. "Go back, little bird," said the eagle. "Your task is hopeless. A few drops of water cannot put out a forest fire. Save yourself before it is too late." But the little parrot kept on flying. "I don't need a great shining eagle," coughed the little parrot, "to give me advice like that. I don't need advice. I need someone to help." And the god, who was that great eagle, suddenly thought of his own privileged kind high above. They were carefree gods, happy and laughing. while so many animals below cried out in pain and fear in the forest fire. "I will help," the god eagle shouted, beginning to weep. Stream after stream of sparkling tears poured from his eyes as he flew after the little parrot back into the forest. And these tears fell down like walls of rain, washing the soot from the little parrot and putting out the fires below with a mighty hiss. After the fire was out, the eagle's teardrops dripped from branches, and anywhere a drop landed, new life grew, fresh shoots and leaves and grass springing up from between still glowing embers. Where there were teardrops left on the little parrot, new feathers grew. Red, yellow, blue, green, he was now a beautiful and vibrant bird. All the other animals looked at one another in amazement. They were whole and well. Not one had been harmed. Up above, in the now clear blue sky, they could see the brave little parrot looping and soaring into light. When all hope was gone, somehow he'd saved them.
This is a time in our service when we share the joys and sorrows of our congregation. Many of us are feeling isolation and fear, and many of us have been able to find some joy by reconnecting in ways we never knew possible through virtual reality. Some of us now are struggling with our own illnesses, not related to the virus. And some of us are grieving deeply those whom we loved and have recently lost. May we all hold one another deep in our hearts, and may we find some comfort in the words of a prayer by Reverend Derek Jackson. Gracious Goddess, vulnerable God, eternal Spirit, this is all too much. Forced isolation from those whom we love and tend. Fear of what may come and who may be hurt. Sudden radical change in how we do worship. It is exhausting. Help us to show our wounds and our scars. Help us let go of expectations of our own making. Help us be real. Just for a second. Help us to let down our guard and help us to heal. Help us to rest. Help us return to wholeness, grounded in a love that spans all distances. And hold us just as we are, as we take a moment of silence for reflection. Blessed be.
Whether you are joining us for the first time or have been coming to the church for a long time, I invite you to virtually offer a stone of intention. Your stone could symbolize your intentions, prayers, a joy, sorrow, or milestone in your life. If you are following along on our church's Sunday service web page, please scroll down the page and click on the button labeled Add Your Stone. If you are following the service on a different manner, then I invite you to visualize a stone in your hand and imagine placing it in a bowl of sand. However you offer your stone, your thoughts, prayers, or intentions join those of others in this extended, beloved community. And now a final stone is placed for all that remains in our hearts. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored. Please join in singing hymn number 391, Voice Still and Small. You can follow along with the words on the order of worship on the church website.
Morning. I want to start, I have to say, with a poem by astronomer Rebecca Elson called Dark Matter. Above a pond, an unseen filament of spider's floss suspends a slowly spinning leaf. And a second one from her is called All Let There Always Be Light, as she's searching for dark matter. That was a lot of her work as an astronomer. For this we go out dark nights, searching for the dimmest stars, for signs of unseen things to weigh us down, to stop the universe from rushing on and on into its own beyond till it exhausts itself and lies down cold. Its last star going out. Whatever they turn out to be, let there be swarms of them, enough for immortality, always a star where we can warm ourselves, Let there even be enough to bring it back from its own edges, to bring us all so close that we ignite the bright spark of resurrection. Let's take a breath together. You know, part of what we do in worship is we're harmonizing our bodies. We're uniting in a very important felt way. That's part of why we sing so much. And if you're not singing along to the service or you don't have the words in front of you, you can always hum. Because that humming is part of my resonating with you resonating, with all of us connecting in this great vibratory web of being. Now, you know, in Hindu philosophy, there is a first sound that is often called the om, the a-u-um, which is past, present, future, and then sound beyond time. And that is very similar to this idea of the great big bang, and that a sound starts existence. And a sound is what calls us back in our existence to one another and to being able to support this earth to which we belong. Now, this week is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Hurrah! We made it 50 years! And of course, like so many wonderful holidays, Earth Day is one of those days we can celebrate every day. Yeah? Because what day are we not grateful for this planet that has given us birth and that supports and nurtures us? When we talk about Jen's story that she brought in, the faithful, brave little parrot here, that translation of devas as gods is a pretty common one. But in Hindu mythology, actually the devas are higher reincarnations of human beings. They're like, what happens if really good things happen and you do really great things through your life and eventually you end up in devahood? And there, everything is wonderful and you burn off all your good karma because you're having such a great time and you have no cares and no worries. And so then eventually you'll have not enough karma to stay in the deva lands and you go back to the earth and you get reincarnated there. So the whole point about this idealized bliss state is not that we can't have bliss in our lives. Now, indeed, in yogic philosophy, the Anandana Maya Kosha is always with us. That is the bliss body. We have a physical body. We have a mental body. That's our stories and our thoughts. We have an emotional body. That's our feelings that come up. We have an energetic body or a spirit body. And we have a bliss body. So it's this bliss realm being separated from this realm of suffering that becomes the problem. And indeed, this is one of the issues as we sort of chafe at what's inconvenient. As I'm starting week six of being socially isolated and not having left a building. And I have a great privilege to be able to even do that. It's lots of us can't. Lots of us have to go out no matter what our precarious health state. And, you know, part of why I'm socially isolated is because I have a lot of underlying conditions that make it very unlikely for me to survive this pandemic if I acquire the virus right now, because we don't have good treatments for it. And we don't know how to survive. It's help people like me who have really bad lungs and who struggle with immune deficiency to begin with. So I have this privilege of being able to separate. And yet, you know, like, it's inconvenient. And a lot of people are talking about inconvenience these days and the real struggles around them, that this isn't how I imagined I was going to live my life. This isn't the life I want to be living. This isn't worth my energy. And indeed, so many people are feeling like that. They're going out and they're protesting being asked to stay home, putting others at risk as well as themselves. And you might have noticed, if you watch the news on a regular basis, you might have seen Chancellor Angela Merkel talking about how it is right now in Germany that every person who has developed COVID-19 that they've tested is right now passing it to only one other person. And you can compare that to some of the cases of infection in some areas where the average number of contacts that you have to follow up on is 500 or 45, but one-to-one. And she said, if only if we switch to a second person is infected in 20% of the cases, then by August, our hospitals will be overwhelmed and we won't have an ability to take care of people. And if it's one third of the people instead of 20% that are infecting two people instead of one person, then that moves the timeline to early June. And so we're not necessarily being asked to really think about what it is that we're doing as a moral relationship with one another and with this planet. And yet that's what our faithful promises tell us. You know, the reasons why we're Unitarian Universalists are many, but all of us believe in these faithful promises that we've made, that and that what we do matters. Because otherwise, why would we be in an orthopractic tradition where right practice matters more than what you believe? So we have this agreement both to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person and to nurture this interdependent web of which we are one part. And are they in conflict? And that's been very hard for us to understand as a larger culture and a larger world, especially those of us who are used to having convenient lives when it comes to climate change, as well as in this moment of pandemic. How do we come back to practicing not just to be the brave little parrot? Because the brave little parrot, after all, was reincarnated Buddha, right? Like, what's the Buddha going to do? The Buddha's going to turn their back on everybody? That's not the Buddha. That's like reincarnated Jesus isn't going to do that, right? So reincarnated Buddha is going to care about everybody. But most of us are not reincarnated Buddha. We have resentments. We want things. We have struggles. And we're really not even devas who are used to living in bliss and are burning off their positive karma by having all this bliss. But we're a little bit closer to that if we have any privilege at all. And if you're watching or listening to this service, then you have the privilege of actually being able to connect to a digital streaming source, which means you have something in this world that you can be offering others. And that connection to the deva is to remember that it isn't that a life without suffering is what we're seeking, because life has suffering. It is a life where we are part of answering the suffering that we're seeking. And that's so important when it comes to responding to the pandemic and when it comes to responding to this need to heal our mother planet. We don't have another planetary option at the moment, unlike what Rebecca Elson was imagining, another star to go to, another place to head out to. We really need to take care of this place. And we are of this place. So if we are taking care of the planet, we are taking care of ourselves. It just may not be how we imagined, and it might be darned inconvenient. Now, it's been a heck of a year. We already had this pandemic going on, and as you know, 20% of Australia's forests burned in the single last few months. And our planetary home is in deep, deep trouble. It's been that way. We know the science has been building up for a long time about that. We've known it to be happening. But there's been this resistance that and statements that our economies can't adjust, or we don't have enough money to answer that problem. And as we know right now, that's kind of a lie. We'll print as much money as we need, and it may take a long time for our economies to get back to where we are feeling comfortable about it and have as many conveniences as we do now. But one of the things that happened, right, like after the Second World War, is the economy became more equal. There was a little depression, and we became more equal, less inequality. And we have enormous inequalities in our economy right now. So we have this opportunity because we're in the middle of crisis. And that opportunity is, what do we do? You might have heard about Bear, right? Bear is a six-year-old border collie.
She was talking about.
Hi, can you mute yourself?
To protect you, social distance and all that.
Thanks. We're getting closer to that. I appreciate it. It's just it's hard to focus on everything if I can't speak at the moment. So maybe you've heard about Barry's like this wonderful border collie, and he was trained to sniff out and save burned koalas, taking rescuers to live koalas. You know, lots of dogs can take the rescuers to koalas, but they almost all were dead, and Bear was one of the ones who could actually sniff out if they were alive and help them. Or you might have heard about the four friends, Jawad, Nabula, Talal Kanshi, Belal Schmeit, and Hussein Chazli, who asked themselves, what could they do? What could they offer the people? And they said, well, you know, all we really are good at is doing a cookout. So we're gonna go gather everything we can and take this to the area close to these folks. And they did it not just once, but twice, driving multiple days in the long run to be able to do that. Right now, we have all kinds of opportunities. We have things like Feeding the Front, where even if you can't leave home, if you have any money to give, you can go ahead and donate to support a local restaurant that's delivering to the COVID-19 workers in your area or somewhere else in the world. You can participate in the teddy bear hunt, if you haven't already, right? You could put those teddy bears out on a window so that parents can take children through neighborhoods in vehicles and look for the teddy bears, because there they know there's somebody who cares. And then we have to think about how we do that for our Earth. How will we spread these messages of love and compassion and connect with one another and bring our bodies back to resonating together? Resonating together instead of apart. And that might be really challenging for some of us, because it's easier to say somebody else is at fault than to try to see why they're so scared or to be with that fear and anger. So can we become this golden eagle? Can we gather up the water that we each need to be present with one another, to turn out like so many communities have, from children scribbling messages on sidewalks, to the Sikh communities that have gone out to feed firefighters and to feed workers on the front lines. We have this opportunity before us because it is a time of great challenge and great change and great, great loss to choose. And we're Unitarian Universalists. We do choice really well. That's one of the things that we love, right? Who here doesn't love choice? That's one of the things that's appealing about our faith tradition. We get to choose how we come back to restructure our economy, how we get to be in relationship with one another, how we nurture compassion and care for this planet and for our whole being. Let's take a deep breath together. This is one of the ways that we start to harmonize our bodies with one another and with this earth. And gently exhale. And maybe you would like to put your fingers up and two victory signs or two peace signs, and then go ahead and latch onto the chair next to you or planted in the earth next to you and feel this. This is Bhu Mudra, by the way. We're putting the fingers into the earth. We're drawing on that earth energy and we're sending that earth back energy, finding our connections one to another, kind of like mycelial networks in the earth, in the soil, finding and nurturing through our breath and our energy and our whole being what each and all need. A healthy planet, a good place to live, some purpose in helping to ease others from suffering, and to bring healing in life to this forest that is this world in which we live, suffering from pandemic, suffering from climate change, suffering from racism and oppression, suffering from division. We are the ones we've waited for, to unite, to connect, to choose, to choose a different way. May it be so. May you remember your power, and may you live that out today and every day. Thanks for joining me.
One of the ways we enliven our spiritual values in the world is by making them real through the form of financial contribution. I invite you to enliven your commitment to this community and be generous in giving this morning. Every month, we donate all undesignated funds to a community organization in Lee County. This month, our sharing partner is the Early Learning Coalition of Southwest Florida. The Early Learning Coalition serves the families of Collier, Glades, Hendry, and Lee counties, and strives to help children ages birth through five and beyond have access to high quality early education to cultivate natural enthusiasm for learning. Many of our congregants are involved in their Literacy Buddy program and donate books to pre-K students. If you'd like to contribute today, you can do it the old-fashioned way by mailing a check to the church or by clicking the orange button that says donate on our church website. Whether you write a check or click the donate button, be sure to designate your intentions for UUCFM or the Early Learning Coalition on the memo line or notes section. The virtual offering will now be generously given and gratefully received.
Across the morning sky, all the birds are leaving. But how can they know it's time for them to go? Before the winter's fire, I will still be dreaming. I have no thought of time. Who knows where the time goes? And who knows where the time goes? Sad deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. And yet they know it's time for them to go. But I will still be here. I have no thought of leaving. I do not count the time. Who knows where the time goes? And who knows where the time thank you. I am not alone. While my love is near, and I know you will be so until it's time to go. So come the storms of winter, and then the birds in spring again. I have no fear of time. Who knows how my love grows? And who knows where the time
join me in speaking the words of gratitude. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared.
Please join me in reciting the words on your order of service as we extinguish our chalice today. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
And I invite you to reach out right now and take the hands of those near you and reach for the energy of those who are connected in this call or on live stream. Feel those electrons, one to another. In our breath, breathing in, knowing we have power and choice. Breathing out, knowing that our love and compassion can change not only ourselves, but this world. May we go forth and offer that, no matter the fire, the challenge, or the bliss before us. Thanks, and have a wonderful week.
Happy Earth Day.